91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, it's Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Vicki Greger.
And I'm Jake Brownell.
This month on Air Check, members of the band Woodshed Red serve up a bluegrass take on Pink Floyd and discuss their eclectic influences. Also, Cold Heart Revival performs a few songs from their debut LP, Over the Water. Representatives from Flux Capacitor in the Pikes Peak Library District explain how a beloved DIY space found a new home in the local library. And Tomas Pagan Mota shares his thoughts on songwriting and hearing his own music on the Netflix show, Flaked. All of that today on Air Check.
So we begin the show, as usual, with our musical roundtable, where we go around the table and share a song that we haven't been able to get out of our heads over the last month. We are going to start things off with you, Vicki.
I'm picking a record that I can't stop playing. I think I play it every day, so that's a pretty good indication that I really like this record. And what's very cool about this artist is that she's a local musician of sorts. She's Colorado-based. Her name's Natalie Tate, and she has made a beautiful record called Broken Open. And from that, the song You Are What You Can't. You know, Natalie has spent time with the band Arclife, guitars and vocals. And Arclife, you know, Colorado band, they've toured with Of Montreal, and they've toured with Gregory Alan Isakoff and with Fox. And so, obviously, they are a talented band, and you expect the bar to be set high with the players in it, but she's a multi-instrumentalist, keyboards, the beats all through this record. She plays the bass. She recorded some of it in her home. Her voice is just amazing. And quite frankly, I don't want to put somebody else down, but this song reminds me of the reasons I like Sylvan Esso and Feist somewhat. Yep. But when I think about Sylvan Esso, I think Natalie's made the record I was hoping Sylvan Esso was going to make with their second one.
Huh.
And didn't for me. But this one, she explores that terrain beautifully.
I definitely hear the Feist reference.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice is beautiful and really nuanced, I think, the way that she's phrasing things and the melodies that she's writing. It's a great pick. I love this.
Yeah, Natalie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalie, making us proud to be Coloradan.
Jeff, what have you got for us this month?
I have picked a group called Songhoy Blues, and their new CD is Resistance. And this song is called Sahara, and it features a familiar American voice, a fellow named Iggy Pop.
Going to the Sahara, baby. We'll be right back.
Music for Mali. There are so many incredible musicians coming out of Mali. Songhoi Blues, Ali Farka Touré, his son Viu Farka Touré, some incredible musicians. And you know what I really like about Malian music is this direct link to American blues. If you listen to early John Lee Hooker recordings, you will hear the same guitar stylings that you hear with these Mali musicians. It's really an incredible, you know, progression of music through cultures and the ages, really.
I'm not clear on what Iggy Pop's contribution is beyond the intro. We're going to the Sahara, baby.
He shows up a little later in the tune and does a little.
He lists everything there isn't there, like,
right.
Ain't got no, you
Kentucky
know, ain't
fried chicken,
ain't got no. I know what you're talking about, though, Jeff. I think it's why I'm very drawn into bands from Mali. It's those lead guitar lines are just so striking and engaging. Of course, it's the same thing I love about the blues.
Great pick. Sahara, Songhoi Blues featuring Iggy Pop.
Jacob, what are you presenting today at the musical roundtable?
Well, my pick is by an artist called Moses Sumney, who has kind of been floating around for a while, releasing EPs and singles, kind of getting buzzed about in various circles from Los Angeles. And he is just about to release in September his first full-length record, Aromanticism. And this is the first single that's come out from that. It's called Doomed.
With inverted tongue, from whence does fulfillment come? And I expel from this mortal shell, we're at death a living now.
Is some confident singing.
No kidding.
I mean, it's right up front and carries the whole thing.
Yep. And the whole song is just this sort of swelling synth and his just incredible voice. And the way that he's kind of foregrounded his voice like that forces you to just sort of analyze all the little cracks and the textures.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
There's a number of these kind of R&B singers who are really mining this vein of total minimalism and, like, how far can we strip this down and still create something compelling, something that draws you in and keeps you there.
Oh, that high falsetto is just, I like those high singing
Me
guys.
Me too. This is going to be his first real major label release on Jag Jaguar. And
good label.
I predict it's going to be a real standout from this year. This is a guy who people have been wanting more from for a long time. He's been a sort of darling of everyone from Grizzly Bear to Sufjan Stevens to Solange Knowles, and you know, a lot of people cite him as someone they're really excited about, and he's finally kind of about to make his big debut. So,
oh,
excellent
pick.
Something to look
forward to. Yeah, I'll throw in on that one. I can't wait.
Crawl on me so I can see.
Great picks, you guys. We're all over the table with this round table.
There's good music everywhere. Music makes life better.
You're listening to Air Check on 91.5 KRCC.
Woodshed Red is a local group of musicians who've been playing together since 2013 and who have built up quite a following with their unique brand of bluegrass. I'm actually reluctant to use the term bluegrass because many of their songs are new interpretations of rock and roll classics. Jeff, you invited them into the 91.5 KRCC studios to play a couple of tunes and talk about their music style.
Yeah, the band consists of four very talented musicians. They're Rob Fulton, who plays guitar, Deidre McCarthy, who plays violin, Sky Lewis plays drums, and Craig Houghton plays stand-up bass. We got three-fourths of them into the station, and here's that performance.
Hey, what's up? We are Woodshed Red, and here is a song we cover by Pink Floyd. It's actually a few songs smashed together. Hope you enjoy. Waiting for someone or something to show you.
And there is time to kill today, and then one day you'll find 10 years of God behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting.
Woodshed Red in the studios at KRCC covering Pink Floyd beautifully, I might add. It's really wonderful, Deirdre, to hear how you are using, is this a violin or a fiddle? Let's start with that.
I suppose on that song, maybe a fiddle.
Is it vernacular? Is it just, they're one and the same?
Yeah, but same physical instrument. It just depends on your style.
Depends on the genre you're playing.
Yeah.
So you guys have sort of built a name for yourself by redoing these classic rock songs with a bluegrass feel to it. And I'm wondering, what are you listening to? Are you listening to bluegrass in your spare time, or are you listening to rock and roll?
Neither.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listening to podcasts.
What are you fans of?
I mean, a lot of the songs that we have done those versions of are songs that I've loved, you know, my whole life. And so it's just kind of an array of songs that we've all known. I don't know, we all listen to everything, I think, you know, but it's a pretty wide range.
Do you cover any bluegrass songs?
No.
Not really. We have some kind of Irishy.
There's a few fiddle, like fiddle tunes, yeah, we'll play. Not many traditional bluegrass songs, I'd say.
Interesting.
No Bill Monroe or anything like that.
I'm speaking with Rob, Deirdre, and Sky of Woodshed Red. Craig's not here today.
No.
So, Rob, you're out of Austin, Texas?
I lived there for 4 years.
And the music scene down there is rich. Did that cultivate you at all? Did that formulate
your... It educated me. I don't know the word rich. It's abundant, but I don't know. It's, you know, it's, I feel like music up here has a better energy to it.
Do you really?
I do, yeah. I don't know. That's just my take on it, but I feel like playing music down there was brutal. You know, I mean, there's just so many bands and people are almost,
you just get lost in it all.
People are kind of desensitized to it. Was my experience.
Huh.
You know?
Interesting.
And I don't know. I just learned a lot playing with all different types of music. I learned what my, you know, what I want out of life and music, and what I don't want. You know,
right.
With all the experience down there. So,
you guys are active in the festival season. Sky, you were saying you played 8 gigs in 10 days here last week.
It was a couple weeks back. We've actually had 2 runs like that so far this year where we played 7 or 8 shows in about 10 days, something like that.
What do you like to play? Do you like to play festivals or smaller gigs? Or
honestly, after playing some of the bigger gigs, I like playing at little bars where it gets packed and everybody just has a blast.
Do you? So you go for the more
intimate...
That's
what I look forward to, like just the neighborhood stuff where everybody shows up and we have 3-4 hours to do our thing.
Nice. So, Deidre, you came in with a couple of little dinosaurs, a couple of little kids.
Yes.
With dinosaur heads on. And I'm wondering how being a mom and a musician pairs up.
It's not too easy. I guess some of the early mornings after late nights can be difficult. But prior to this, you know, I was a server. So now I'm kind of grateful that I get to play music in the time that I would probably be doing a different job at that time of the day.
What's your training?
I was trained classically.
What do you think your classical music teachers would say to you covering Pink Floyd on your
violin? I'm actually still in touch with her. I studied with one teacher for 16 years, I think. And she said that she doesn't think she could do it, but she was impressed that I could, that I had learned to improvise, and she thought it was cool that I still played all the time.
So she's not shaming you?
No, not at all.
Good.
No.
So you guys are working on a new album? The last one is a few years old now.
Yeah.
When is it going to be out, the new one?
Well, we were hoping to kind of write it and record in the spring, but we didn't get everything done. And then the summer, we're just so busy that there's no way we're going to record anything this summer. So the next time that we would be available to do it would be probably late fall.
The cold, bleak winter months.
Yeah, it's good for songwriting, you know. You're depressed, and
yeah,
it's good for inside. Writing songs.
Right. Well, this is a lot of fun. Thanks for coming in. We can probably expect to see you playing around town, some smoky bars.
Absolutely. Yeah, always.
I don't think they smoke anymore, but they still got that vibe.
Right,
so.
That vibe. Yeah. Let's take it out with another song from Woodshed Red, Rob Fulton, Deidre McCarthy, and Sky Lewis, 3/4 of the band Woodshed Red here at KRCC.
Hey, we are Woodshed Red, and this is a song called Carry On that we wrote. Should be on our new album coming up soon.
when an easy buzz freeze. In an easy buzz freeze.
That was local group Woodshed Red live in the 91.5 KRCC studio playing their song Carry On. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stay with us.
From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, it's Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Vicki Greger.
I'm Jeff Beery.
And I'm Jake Brownell.
The Colorado Springs music scene got some big news last month in the form of an announcement about a beloved DIY music venue, Flux Capacitor. As you may recall, that venue was shut down over fire code violations back in 2016 following the tragic Ghost Ship Warehouse fire in Oakland. Since then, organizers have been looking for a new space. Well, now they've found one with help from the Pikes Peak Library District. Through a new partnership, the Flux and others can now host concerts and events in the Knights of Columbus Hall, a historic building owned by the Pikes Peak Library District, west of the downtown library. Jake Brownell spoke with the PPLD spokesman, Sean Anglum, musician and Pikes Peak Arts Council Executive Director, Kate Perdoni, and Flux Capacitor co-founder, Brian Ostro, about the project.
To begin with, let's give a little bit of background on this project. I know it's partly grown out of the demise of the previous Flux Capacitor space, but I would like to hear you guys tell sort of how this came to be.
After the Flux shut down in December, you know, everybody was devastated in the community. I don't think that enough could be said about how sad that was. And we thought, you know, we've been trying to explain to everybody what this community is, but why don't we just show them? So we put together a community meeting at the Tim Gill Center. I think it was the first week of March. We had over 200 people come out and pack the place. And I think probably around 50 people gave testimonials about how the Flux had changed their lives, how they had found a sense of community. And John Spears from the Library District was at that meeting, and he saw the community, something you can't really explain to people. He got it, and he said, this is what libraries are meant to do. This is a demographic that the library is currently not reaching, and we have the power to connect the community with our resources.
From the library point of view, we have space. We have this building. It's the Knights of Columbus Hall. John and I, for the past year, have talked about what we could do with that space, and we've talked about performance area, multi-use, all sorts of different ideas. He came away from that town hall knowing that that space probably could work for Flux Capacitor and other groups. We have the space. We don't have the staff right now to do something with it. They have staff and human power, so it kind of just came together that way.
And so the Flux Capacitor, it was an all-ages venue in a warehouse space. what was the void that was left when that closed as far as accessibility of spaces and the types of venues that do exist in the city?
Well, you know, I think in a lot of cities, you know, there's like two kinds of places that you play. You know, you play the big venue and then you play the bars. A lot of bars won't let, you know, underage kids go to the shows or even play shows. So what we wanted to do is have a place where everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what age you are, you can come, you can express yourself, get a release, and you can do it in a grassroots level. And since it stopped, you know, it kind of just brought it back to kind of where it used to be and where it was. But we're still doing it. Kids are still interested. And as I tell people, I'm like, Flux wasn't just that building. It wasn't just that room. Flux is a state of mind, and Flux is what we're all doing, you know, as a community together with music and art in general.
And I don't know that Brian is, like, going to toot his own horn or, like, sing his own praises, but I have to say that, you know, I've been a musician for my whole life and been touring around the country, playing in DIY spaces. And, you know, this last tour that my band went on, every single place we went, whether it was a DIY space or not, had heard of the Flux. Someone had heard of the Flux. Someone had played at the Flux. And that just, like, never happens. The fact that the Flux put Colorado Springs on the map as a destination that artists want to come to enjoy the community, that is just absolutely outstanding.
Brian, the Flux, the DIY feel, the way in which it was in an unsanctioned space and kind of under the radar, in a way that did kind of lend a certain character to that space and to the events that were held there. Are you worried at all about what it might mean to go legit, so to speak?
You know, that's always something that goes through my mind. But honestly, it would be kind of nice to not have to look over my shoulder every show we do, you know. And we're still going to have all the same ethics and everything, you know. This isn't like going and just starting another bar venue, you know. It's still a huge community feel, and that's kind of what Flux was in the grand spectrum of things. It wasn't the illegality of it. It was the fact that it's people in the community doing something. So I think it's still going to be the same and might even be better and bigger and cooler building with more people to share it with.
We're just thrilled at PPLD that we have Flux as our primary partner right now to lead the way by experimenting and doing these things. And we kind of learn from them. They're keeping hours that usually aren't library hours. So we have to get a different mindset as to when people are using the facility and that sort of thing. And I think it's a step forward from our newest facility at Library 21C, a library for the 21st century. The library isn't about books and being shushed anymore. It's about the community moving forward and finding themselves and finding each other.
Sean Anglum, Kate Perdoni, Brian Ostro, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The new partnership is currently in an experimental phase with only a handful of limited capacity events planned. However, organizers say the space will soon be open for regular use by the community. For more information, head to krcc.org. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC.
Vicky, last year, Cold Heart Revival blew us away with their live performance at the Heritage Brew Festival in Manitou Springs. And I remember looking at each other during that performance and almost simultaneously saying, we've got to get these guys on the air. Well, since then, some of the members of the band have moved out of the state, but somehow you managed to wrangle them into the 91.5 KRCC studios for a performance and interview.
Yeah, I think what struck us both during the festival was the beautiful harmonies that Stephen Massey and Brett Larson conjured up. But you're right, Stephen recently moved to New Jersey, and Brett will be leaving town soon as well. Meanwhile, keyboardist Audrey Busanich and bassist Dylan Tiefer are still here in Colorado Springs. Nevertheless, we managed to get Stephen, Brett, and Audrey into the station and play a couple songs from their new album, Over the Water, and talk about what's next for the group.
Let's take a listen.
We are the Cold Heart Revival. This song's called Behind the Scenes. Well, I did my best to sit with my defeat when I didn't have the strength to disagree. Such ordinary lives are built behind these gritted teeth. The
cause your pride will always bite the hand that feeds. Two shots upon a rail, a fire in the shine of a moonbeam. Well, it's more than it seems, defined by any means. But it's always getting lost behind the scenes. I'm waiting for my silence to defend. Your cannonball resolve is wearing thin. I'm justified, but I might let it slide and say you win. Cause this bickering's like pissing in the wind. Two shots upon a rail, a fire in the shine of a moonbeam. Well, it's more than it seems, it's defined by any means. But it's always getting lost behind the scenes. To swallow all my pride, to implicate whatever you despise. But desire is the enemy if you're never on my side. And it's too hard to go down without a fight. Two shots upon a rail, fire in the shine of a moonbeam. But it's more than it seems, defined by any means. But it's always getting lost behind the scenes.
This is Vicki, and I'm in the studio today with Cold Heart Revival. Stephen, Audrey, and Brett, thank you so much for coming in and doing some music for us today and talking. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, we're excited to be here, beyond excited.
I wanted to go back to when I first saw you, which was last year. It was a duo. It was Stephen and Brett. You guys were playing a festival. And I remember when, you know, I didn't know that much about you. I didn't know anything about you. So when you started singing, I was struck by the same thing I'm sure a lot of people are struck by. Your vocals, the harmonies, and your confidence, really. So I'm curious about your origins. How'd you find each other?
It was a miracle. No, I'm actually originally from New Jersey, and my job had moved me out to the Springs, and I'm, like, really bad at meeting people, so I was like, I'm just going to go play a bunch of open mics and try to, like, connect with some folks. And Brett and his wife happened to come out to Jive's Coffee Shop, actually, and they saw me play an open mic there, and he approached me afterwards. I had played some original tunes, and he was just like, hey, I really like your stuff. So after that, just kind of, like, we got together, and I think we played The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel for the first time, and like, we kind of sat down, and we were just, like, locked in. I was just like, yes, this is going to be great, so...
Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel, that certainly comes to mind. There's something about the way your voices work together. Stephen, you certainly have that sound to your voice. Did you recognize that in each other? Like, are you fans? Did you come
Huge.
Together that way?
I mean, my dad raised me on Simon and Garfunkel, so anytime anybody has given us that compliment, which mm-hmm. has happened a few times, thankfully, I mean, that's... Those are the gods of harmony, so.
That's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Because certainly that's what I thought of, and that is high praise. Were you both songwriters, or does one person, and I'll get you in on this too, Audrey, that you bring this all to the table together?
Yeah, we're both songwriters. All three of us are. And we've both mostly been focusing on Steve's music. It's just so good. I've actually haven't been able to figure out what Steve's songwriting process is. I haven't witnessed it, although I've tried to. So
that.
He'll show up with a new song that's at completion, and I've begged him to, like, let's try to write a song together, but he, it's some magic behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think it's more insecurity. It's just like, I want to, like, because my initial thought on, like, lyrics and stuff can be kind of cheesy, and then I have to, like, kind of work with it, and I, like, let it bake in my head for a couple days, and then I kind of come and, like, be like, okay, this is the final. This is, like, what I'm comfortable yeah. with sharing.
Sometimes Steve will give us cast-off songs, and Brett and I finish them and then bring them back.
So I want to ask, I knew you as a duo, and maybe that was just incorrect to assume, and now listening to your new record, which, by the way, is lovely, Over the Water, and Dylan playing upright bass, Audrey on keys. How did that all come together? Is this officially the band now, or was that a studio thing?
Sure. I guess I consider the four of us would be the core members, and then there's additional instrumentation on the album where people came in and lent some awesome, like, you know, banjo and fiddle and stuff like that to flesh it out. So yeah, I would consider us the core of the band. And Brett and I had played with several other people and kind of didn't really fit as well. And we met Audrey at a little festival, actually, that we were playing. What was it? This
Mountain of the Sun Music Festival up in
oh yeah,
Woodland Park. We our first conversation was about salad dressing, and I had found like a video of them on YouTube, and I was like, I'm gonna meet them at this festival, and we're gonna be friends, and we're gonna play music together.
And Steve and I had always really valued like a level of professionalism with music, and Audrey is so tremendous as far as like. There on time, always squared away. Everything is so straight, and so we got along right away.
Okay, there's something that you've mentioned off mic. Are you all then in different parts of the land now? What's this band going to look like? How do you go forward? You all have some specific plans in your personal lives and where you live and what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think even though we're separated, you know, and I might not be separated for long. I'm back in New Jersey, but I'm not really happy with my move back. So I'm like itching to go somewhere else, either come back here or somewhere else. I think that we care enough about the music that we'll always make it work no matter what. Even if it's, you know, writing stuff down, like recording it and exchanging ideas and then working on songs that way. And then when we get a chance to get together, we can assemble in a studio somewhere and record or something like that.
And
I think we'll always make it
work. Our friendship is just so strong that it's going to drive on.
Absolutely. I mean, even in the last 3 months since Steve moved, like, he'll send me tracks and be like, hey, do you hear anything on this? And like, I can send him keyboard files or vocal or bass files. And so there's still that collaboration and that camaraderie in the creative process. And when we get together, we play as much as we can.
Well, Cold Heart Revival, thank you so much for spending a little time with us here on Air Check. And let's go out with another song.
We are the Cold Heart Revival. This song is called Your Island.
Shifting by a couple of degrees, none too pleased with you, my darling. We've got the ambition to succeed, but it's too fun to watch it falling. A million voices sending plays to your island. A million reasons to stay. Wiped the slate clean lately.
sending planes to your island. A million reasons to stay. Talk me down again. The logic leads me to an open end. Brother, were you happy to pretend? Swallowing your one and only friend. A million voices send to your island.
That was Cold Heart Revival in studio at 91.5 KRCC. The band's new album is called Over the Water. You can find out more about the band through our website, krcc.org. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stay with us. From 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, it's Air Check, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Greger.
And I'm Jeff Beery.
On Friday, August 11th, 91.5 KRCC Music will be hosting a free concert. I repeat, free concert with Desi Garcia and Inea Lujan of In Plains and Tomas Pagan Mota. The show will be in the music room of the Fine Arts Center, and there may be a few seats left, but you'll need to RSVP soon to get yours. Seating is very limited. Vicki, you recently had a chance to chat with Tomas Pagan Mota in advance of this upcoming visit.
I did. I've been a big fan of Tomas since I first heard his debut album in 2015. We had the pleasure of hosting him for a show in Colorado Springs a few years back. He's an incredible musician and such a warm and delightful person. And it was great to chat with him again about his latest release, Living a Lie, and some of the success he's had over the last year.
All right, well, let's take a listen to your interview with Tomas Pagan Mota.
It's amazing to me, I've never treated you bad.
Tomas, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk with me today.
It is absolutely my pleasure, Vicki.
I want to ask you something, Tomas, getting to the art and the musicianship that you bring to the table. And I want to talk to you about production and arrangements. Your songs, your records are stripped down, I guess, in a way, only they're stripped down with the most amazing production. For example, you know, when I first heard Up and Away.
In my head, I'm running again. I've been away, my thoughts are bad.
You know, immediately, here's this incredible melody, your soaring vocals, cello, pedal steel, and I'm thinking of Near and Far off the top of my head from Living a Lie. Is that from you? Did all that come to the recording studio with you? Because the production and arrangements are quite sophisticated.
Yeah, so I had the songs and I sort of knew kind of exactly what I wanted to do with them. Like I could hear what was happening. And I am a great, I guess, collaborator in the sense that I have sort of a cohesive thing, a very fluid sort of relationship with people. So I just said, okay, let's go. I met this amazing guy at a coffee shop. Yeah, that still happens, you know. You can still meet amazing artists at coffee shops, you know. Bring him into the studio. He sounds incredible. Let's bring the drummer, his buddy who's a drummer, sounds incredible. Let's bring the bass player who I've known for a while. He sounds incredible. I just sort of know if players have a sound and a style that I like, I just sort of know where it's going to fit. And we went in there and it just needed it. It needed that sort of diversity, you know, it needed that diversity. And we had the idea, we developed it in rehearsals, and it was quick, and we recorded in 4 days. And the highs high. We've actually prepared the songs in trio form for this tour, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting. We're taking a couple instruments and making a lot with them, and still leaving a lot of space for the listener. Because I get blown away too much by too much sound. When people speak to you, there's a natural overtone to it. So I like music that contains this overtone, you know, where there's space, I can digest it.
You know, everything you just said about the sound is exactly the feeling that washes over me, certainly, when I listen to your records, and especially this last one. So to think of doing most any big project in 4 days is something, but certainly to make a record that lovely. Speaking of that, Fame tapped you on the shoulder a little bit more. My Living a Lie was in season 2 of the Netflix Flaked show. Living a lie is something I've been getting good at. I understood that, you know I won't deny. How'd that happen?
Sirius XM picked up a couple of the songs, and there was a particular DJ who is also a DJ at KCRW in Los Angeles who was kind of taken aback by the album. He sent me a message expressing that sentiment. Shout out Chris Muckley. And we sort of went back and forth and talked. And when I performed in Los Angeles for the tour of that last album, he showed up with the crew, and then we kind of chatted more. And I thought, man, there are these, just like you, Vicky, there are these people who just really, really listen to music and care about music and curate that. And out of nowhere, he said, look, this song is so cool. I want to use it for this project I'm working on. So he has a company where he and another KCRW staff member curate some of these shows in Hollywood. So he said, there's this new show with Will Arnett. It's called Flaked. It's a Netflix comedy. And the song is perfect. I pitched it. And then, you know, a couple weeks went by, and I was just kind of concentrated on getting the tour together. And then he just called and said, here's a contract. They love it. They're going to put it on this episode. So, yay, money. You know, and I was like, yay, great. I can now tour a little bit more extensively. It's a blessing that just came out of nowhere, and it's because of people who really listen to music and these gifted radio folks. I would throw you in that crowd, Vicky, and just that's kind of how it happened, you know. It's completely organically and out of the blue.
So when you watched the episode, how did that feel?
Yeah, I felt good, you know. I watched it with some friends, and, you know, they liked the show, and they were kind of geeking out a little bit, you know. Like, hey, oh my God, that's you. I'm like, yeah, it's a good song.
I agree, Tomas. And I'm so glad to see another tour underfoot. I'm so glad that we get to be part of that, that you're coming to Colorado Springs, you're coming back, and look forward to seeing you and especially hearing you.
Vicky, I cannot wait to play you what we've been working on. I'm very excited. Given the way you do.
That was Vicky Gregor speaking with Tomas Pagan-Mota. He'll be playing a free show at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center with In Plains on Friday, August 11th. You can RSVP online at krcc.org.
That concludes this episode of AirCheck from 91.5 KRCC. To learn more about the artists and the music news you heard in this episode of AirCheck, head to our website, krcc.org. Also, be sure and subscribe to the AirCheck podcast in the iTunes Store or wherever you find your podcasts. For AirCheck, I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Vicky Gregor.
And I'm Jake Brownell.